been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Monday edition of the Best Stocks Now. Best fertilizer stocks, best inverse funds, best oil stocks, you name it. We're off pretty much where we picked up, where we left off last week, Barry. Kind of a continuation of the trends that we've been seeing in the market here recently. And we'll say hi to Barry Kite out
there.
Yeah,
good morning. Yeah, good morning. It's been, our portfolios are positioned pretty well for this, but the overall market, not really fun for the overall market, put it that way.
No, we're up again today considerably. So, hey, we'll see. Knock on wood. The Dow right now down 315. You know, it's teetering on support. What can I say? 33,278. I've kind of looked at 33,000 as that big support level. The S&P at 4285, barely hanging on to its a support level. It's down 43 points right now, 1%. The NASDAQ's down about 1%. The NASDAQ just can't get out of its own way right now. The NASDAQ has major support at 13,000. It's at 13,182, down 133 points. The Russell 2000 down 5 points. Crude oil was the big story. It hit 130 yesterday.
I was looking at it before I went to bed last night.
Goodness, the futures were down 500 during the night. The NASDAQ futures were down like 250. Crude oil has snapped back a little bit. I show it at 117 right now. Make sure that's right, Barry. Check on maybe CNBC and see what the current bid there is on.
Yeah, I'm showing 118 is what I've got.
Okay, so that's about right. Not 130 anymore. Gold continues to sizzle. It's moving in on 2,000. It's up $19. And it's actually weird to see the 10-year up 5 basis points here today.
And I'm pretty sure Brent hit 140 at one point today, which is...
Well, welcome to this week's Best Stocks Now show. The Monday edition, we're going to pick up right where we left off on Friday. Friday was not a good day in the market. It was another down day. We had another good day. I think we were up every day last week. But, knock on wood, between the inverse ETFs that we own in these vulnerable areas of the market and the big exposure we have to commodities of all kinds, that's the winning recipe right now. In the market, tech continues to get hammered, just about everything. I could not believe. Here's what was shocking to me on Friday. The banks, the European banks in particular, the Deutsche Banks, the Credit Suisse, the UBS out of Switzerland, oh, my gosh, they just absolutely got pummeled. Barclays out of the United Kingdom. And, Barry, that's got to be more than just the interest rates that have gone down here, right? In the flight to safety, we've driven interest rates down. The German Bund went positive. But I think there's fear of something else with those big banks. Do you think they're starting to maybe fear a contagion coming from the Russian situation?
Yeah, and that's that has to do with, any exposure they may have there, either first degree exposure or second degree exposure in terms of the old, go back to the old 08-09, the term counterparty risk.
Yeah.
So there's, it's hard to, you've seen some, other companies take charges already. For example, BP had that huge 20-something billion charge for walking away from a project, oil project in Russia. And so there's the thought is that you're going to see some of these write-downs, whether they come out right out and say it, or if it's something that shows up in their earnings call. But there, certainly some of them have some exposure there. The question is how much. And the thought is your bigger banks, especially your bigger European banks, right, are the ones that may have the most exposure there.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, your regional banks, that's a whole different story. They're not, you know, your Midwestern bank doesn't have that much exposure, as we said, to Russia. But interest rates, in terms of is the Fed going to, you know, kind of, can, you know, they're certainly going to raise, but, you know, what's that pace going to be now? How are that flight to safety has been keeping those longer term rates down too. So it'll be interesting to see how that's going to play out.
The Fed's got, on the one hand, we're going to talk about the inflation picture. It is just roaring right now. And on the other hand, you know, they worry about how fragile the economy is right now. That big spike in oil, that hits a lot of people, a lot of industries. And, that European bank situation, that was really ugly last Friday. And I think there's fear of that contagion. Consider that the Russian stock market year-to-date is down 80%. 80%. It's absolutely been crushed. Basically, any stock that these companies own in Gazprom or whatever it is, whatever it may be, they got to write down their holdings to pretty much zero. So we'll see. I haven't had a chance to look at the World Banks today, but that was just really ugly on Friday. Okay, well, let's see what else is happening here. That was that move to safety on Friday. That continues in the market as Russia's attacks on Ukraine are now starting to intensify. The 10-year got cleared down to about 1.74, something like that, last week. It's back up today. Interest rates, the Fed on the one hand is watching. They want to get interest rates back to more of a normal level, and the market's taking them down. In the meantime, crude oil last week was up $24 per barrel. That's from the previous Friday's close. And some of these oil stocks, well, overnight it was unbelievable what was taking place, but that has settled down. Oil here, the West Texas Intermediate, hit $130. Per barrel. I think it's just a matter of time. We're still at sub $4 gas here, but by Tuesday or Wednesday, I don't think we'll be there anymore. And that was a shock yesterday when I saw the breaking news of oil. It was about 6 p.m. Eastern time when I saw that oil was hitting 125, then it went to 130. And the market, the futures were just tanking overnight. So obviously, Barry, they're going to have to go somewhere to, it sounds like, they're going to, quit buying the Russian oil. I've heard that there's delegations down in Venezuela talking to them. They have the biggest oil reserves in the world, about 20%. There's been talk of going to Iran, and they're racing to get that nuclear deal done, which would take the sanctions off Iran. So something's coming real soon where, you know, we'll quit buying Russian oil and go somewhere else. But in the meantime, nobody's filling that vacuum, and oil prices are just all over the map, mostly up. Hong Kong was down 4% at one point last night. And I think our futures, I saw the Dow down about 500 at one point overnight. I saw the NASDAQ down about 250 overnight. And that sound you hear, that sucking sound leaving Russia, all these companies are just fleeing Russia. Saturday, it was Visa, it was MasterCard, and now Netflix has joined in, TikTok.
Amex.
American Express.
Yep.
KPMG, and even CNN has left Russia because Russia, I think all of the U.S. Media agencies have left Russia because they've threatened to imprison any media outlets.
Essentially a 10-year prison sentence if you are, report anything that they, basically that they deem fake news, which, in their opinion is, in the rest of the world's opinion, is probably the real news at this point. So it's, basically they can't do their job is really kind
of. No, at all. Moody's dispense commercial operations in Russia, French food group Danone. No Danone yogurt there, in Russia, as, everybody just fleeing. And, you know, he's been cut off from his own money, Putin. That money, when the Swiss banks, that's the first time that the Swiss banks, they've always been neutral. They'll take anybody's money, but that's the first time that I can ever remember. Maybe it was done during the Holocaust. I think maybe it was. But even the Swiss banks have frozen those Russian accounts. So we're kind of in times that we've never seen before. There's no question about that. But in the meantime, you know, you got to do what you got to do in the market. We'll talk about that when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. We'll be right back. This is the Best Stocks Now show. And welcome back here to the second quarter of the Best Stocks Now show. Barry, our accounts, our portfolios just zoomed higher during the break. I can't believe what is taking place in the fertilizer stocks. You know, we've made a lot of jokes about it, and this is no joke. Those things are just absolutely exploding to new highs. And, of course, the oil stocks again today are on fire. So what can I say? You got to be where you got to be in the market and the inverse positions that we have. I just looked at a chart of Amazon. We still have an inverse position on the NASDAQ. Amazon's chart looks terrible. It just continues to break down. And basically, you know, you look at all of those big NASDAQ tech stocks, I wouldn't hardly, we have like two stocks left, I think, from that sector, but very low PE stocks. Man, that sector has just been wiped out. And I got to tell you that the app, the Best Stocks Now app, gave a sell signal on the NASDAQ and on the Dow, I believe, not the S&P 500, for the first time since March of 2020. When we had COVID. So this is as bad as the COVID sell-off. Those indexes have not broken their technical support yet, however. And, of course, within those indexes, there are certainly sectors to be invested in right now. So, you know, while there's a bear market taking place in a lot of areas of the market, there's also several raging bull markets out there right now. It's just getting the combination correct, being inverse the bear markets and being long the bull markets. Energy stocks sizzle as crude closes historic weekly run last week, 13-year high. And, man, if we had opened up at 1:30 this morning like we were at yesterday, during the, middle of the day or 5, 6 o'clock. Can you imagine where the markets would be right now with oil at 1:30? And, yeah, Barry, that's not big, saying that it can't go to 1:30 still.
Right, and that's a big, I mean, that's a big headwind. Of course, we're going to get the CPI number on Thursday, also set on Thursday, which would be real interesting, right? You know, basically right after the CPI number, I think Lagarde's going to speak for the ECB, and I mean, what can they be thinking right now in terms of, you know they need to fight inflation, but at the same time, you know, you've got some of these, I mean, with Brent crude, you know, pushing, you know, 145-ish, I mean, that's a huge headwind, you know, from certainly a big tailwind for inflation, but also a big headwind for growth in that area. So, you know, they're almost looking between a rock and a hard place.
Yeah, I was looking at the travel stocks this morning and on Friday. Have you seen the airline stocks lately?
United was down. Ooh. Which, you know, United has a good bit of exposure to Russia. I think they were one of the last ones to kind of pull out or decide not to fly over. But, you know, they were down 20% last week. And if I saw them this morning, I think they were down a bit more this week as well. Plus, I mean, you take into account their cost, right? Forget, the routes being taken away. But also, I think I saw one route that it was going to, is like, you know, basically 1,200 more miles, you know, to do this one particular route, right? From, say the U.S. or, without going across Russia. And I mean, you know, talk about 1,200 miles of fuel, you know, and that's another, 2 hours, 3 hours tacked onto to a flight.
Yeah, and, just think of what the travel industry went through with the COVID. And now you've got the cruise ships. Think of how their costs. Think of how much the price of a cruise just went up. Not only did your ribeye steak go up at the restaurant and the buffet there, but the cost of fuel has gone up dramatically. And the airline industry, I mean, this is going to trickle down into the hotel industry, the theme parks. You name it, the prices are just soaring. Well, Warren Buffett's at it again. He discloses a $5 billion stake in Occidental Petroleum. And, that stock was just absolutely on fire last week, OXY, along with most other oil stocks. But look at the move that OXY made on Friday. Now, I don't know if Warren got in before that big move, or that was him, moving into the shares of that. But Occidental Petroleum, OXY, relative strength of 99 on a scale of 1 to 100. Barry, this is
Icon
not your...
moved out. So you had Carl Icahn, I think, moved out, which I think the stock liked because, he's a pretty can be a disruptor inside the in the boardroom at least. And so I guess you had him get out, and then you had a long-term investor
maybe they
like
just
Buffett
swapped,
come in. Yeah,
maybe Buffett bought it from Icahn, but Icahn, he paid $2 billion. He walked away with a $1 billion profit in the stock. So I guess he was pretty happy. He accomplished his objective. Let's not get greedy, and Buffett was the big buyer, so maybe that big holding just changed hands from one to another. I was thinking the same thing when I read that story. It's just incredible what we're watching. Okay, then the materials industry, copper on Friday, copper just exploding to the upside, Cleveland Cliffs with iron ore pellets. The steel stocks, Freeport-McMoRan, the fertilizer stocks. Wheat was up 40% last week, 40%. Alcoa, Century Aluminum. This is even bigger than the eyewitness. It was about 2011, 2012, I want to say, that saw the big commodity boom when China was really going at it with their
buying anything and everything at the time.
Anything. Even rebar for a swimming pool, like doubled in price. And now this is different this time around. China's slowed down. They're targeting like 5.5% growth next year, which is way down from what they usually have grown at. But now it's scarcity and it's supply chain issues. In fact, Russia, there's a lot of gases that come out of Russia and the rare earths that are used in the electric cars and in the semiconductor chip industry. So that supply chain is not getting any better. It's getting worse. And let's not forget gold. Gold has been pretty sleepy for the last, during this entire bull market, 12, 13 years since 2009. And all of a sudden, gold is making a charge towards $2,000 per ounce. I can't remember the last time. It was there before, but it's just like every single commodity. Now, I did a check on some of the local supermarkets over the weekend. I didn't see anything really big that popped out yet, but I think there's going to be some the gas station is going to be the most visible one because we drive by those gas signs.
That's where I've been seeing, you know, certain states. I know Tennessee almost $4.99 for diesel fuel, which is, which it's not California. So,
wow. Yeah. So, I mean, look, that's the price of shipping. That costs are going up. And I saw that the transportation dry bulk carriers, those prices could triple before it's all through. We'll be right back. Making sense of it all. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. Welcome back here to the second half of today's best oil stocks, best inverse funds now as the market is starting to really dip to the downside here again. Dow down 415, NASDAQ down 225 right now. There's a couple of charts that I've got to point out here that are really gruesome. Okay, Barry, the first one I'm going to point out, and, you know, you got to say, what is going on here? Look at Bank of America, BAC. Okay, it obviously has nothing to do with interest rates going down. It's got to be some kind of fear of contagion amongst the financials. You know, we were in a bank trade ourselves, because we were looking for that rising interest rate environment, and then along came Putin invading Ukraine, and that theme kind of went out the window. We had to back out of that bank trade that we were in, and since we've backed out, this thing is just getting crushed. Bank of America, BAC, one of the ugliest charts in the market today, that stock is down 22%. Over the last 3 weeks. That's very disturbing. And I would say another disturbing, there's an ETF that represents the European financials, EUFN. That is just a straight down chart. It's down 25% over the last 2 weeks. That corresponds to the Europe Financial Index. And it's like you say, the war front on the economy is Europe. I mean, Europe is in a big pickle. They pay a lot more, you know, for Brent crude than we pay for West Texas Intermediate. And their financials obviously have more exposure to Russia than they were letting on to begin with, because these European financials, European banks, let's just look at Deutsche Bank, DB. Another new low, 52-week low there. I was looking at Credit Suisse, CS. Oh, yeah, that's just a horrible chart. I'll just give you one more here. Was UBS, which I believe is out of Switzerland. That's ugly. That's ugly. There is something going on with the banks. Maybe it's retaliation.
Well, it's got to be counterparty risk, would be my guess. So, you know, the trade that we had on, right, was with the regional banks. So, you know, that was strictly, you know, I believe an interest rate reason for that going down. This, I mean, you take, you know, it doesn't matter where you look. You look at, like you said, you know, the chart for HSBC, which is primarily an English bank, right? Looks the same as the chart for, you know, Bank of America, which looks the same as the chart of Deutsche Bank.
They're all ugly.
You know, they all look the same.
Look at Barclays. Look at Barclays out of UK, BCS. It's down another 3.8% today.
Yeah.
It's gone from 12 to 8. That's a 33% drop in the UK's big bank over there.
And it's kind of it's almost a playbook if you think of, you know, kind of an 08-09 where you didn't really know, right, what someone was holding or what, you know, it could be a second order, a hiccup for them, like in terms of, you know, they may not have the actual loan, right, on some high rise in Moscow, but they may have, you know, some counterparty, some exposure, you know, kind of via derivative exposure, who knows. And so it's, you know, that's where I think the biggest fear is in those major financial names. It is very.
I guess they're all guilty until proven innocent. You know,
which is kind of the what's the old adage in terms of, you know, pass the bill so we can read it and figure out what's in it.
Yeah, we'll figure out what they're holding here.
Yeah,
so, crush the European bank stocks, you know, and then we'll figure out what they own. The other thing that there is an inverse fund on Europe. EPV is ultra short, but it's not real liquid. EFU is one time inverse. It's only traded 2,300 shares today. And you know what else is getting taken apart that I showed in the charts on Friday? The emerging markets are just absolutely getting taken apart. The inverse fund on that is EDZ. EDZ is three times inverse, and EUM is one time inverse, and they are just absolutely exploding to the upside right now.
And it's the mark-to-market positions. Remember that? I mean, we're kind of going back into those same terms from, like I said, from 08-09. I mean, you've got, you know, the story. There was a story on Friday, I believe, where Citigroup had to write down $100 million on some Russian exposure. So it's, you know, you got to kind of keep an eye out for some of these various write downs and see, you know, who ultimately who's kind of holding the bag, if you will.
Yeah, and you got to just figure they're marking to market at zero, assuming that
right.
It's gone. It's done. All right, let's look at some other stuff. Look, we got to look at the runaway commodity train here. Next, you've got thermal coal up 144% year to date. The coal stocks continue to explode to the upside. Arch would be a good example, ARCH. Peabody Energy, which we've mentioned, which is also diversified into other things besides coal, that's BTU. Oil and gas is up 34% year to date. Euro gas, okay, European, this is natural gas used to heat their homes, up 240% year-to-date, all-time high. Aluminum, 40% year-to-date. Copper, 12%. Nickel, 45%. Zinc, 16%. Wheat, 57% year-to-date, all-time high. I think I'm going to plant wheat. Soybeans, 25%. Hogs, 25% year-to-date, 8-year high. You know, the Fed has got to be just a quarter of a point is like spitting in the wind. I mean, it's not going to halt this inflation freight train. Okay, we're going to do a quarter of a point rate hike. They might have to come in with something. Now, Jerome Powell, as recently as Thursday, said, no, we favor a quarter. Maybe they're thinking that all of this inflation will settle out a little bit. But in the meantime, it is just going absolutely crazy right now. United Airlines, American Airlines may need to consider equity raises. Well, they've done that a lot. The cruise ships were they just kept raising stocks, a secondary offering, a third offering, a fourth offering, to make it through the pandemic. And now you got the airlines once again in trouble because of the price of, 80% of their cost is fuel, the airlines. Talked about the news media pulling out of Russia, China, there was a lot of talk that Russia would turn to China for financial help. But China themselves, they're afraid of being cut off from the rest of the world and the financial system. So they're kind of stepping lightly as far as it comes to aiding Russia. They seem to be on pretty friendly terms these days. But China's got their own issues. You know, they're setting their growth at 5.5%. That's the lowest since 1991. That's a 30-year low on their growth. And, of course, their stock market has just been absolutely clobbered when President Xi started to turn left towards Mao Zedong, and their stock market has just crumbled. And Chinese stocks like Alibaba, JD.com, Tent Set Holdings, horrible, horrible place to be invested. Here's your stock of the day, Bed Bath & Beyond. Let's sell everything. There's rumors that it's going to be bought out. You know, I think this is the meme stock today. And a lot of air coming out of the tires. It's still up 50% so far. It was up 85% at one time. And I know there's a connection there between the video rental stock. He joined the board, GameStop, of Bed Bath & Beyond. So you got two, one CEO.
That's the old Chewy CEO, correct?
And Chewy CEO, you know. So this is kind of where the meme people are right now. Man, I wouldn't go down that rat hole if it was me, but you got to do what you got to do. And where are we seeing the merger and acquisition activity this year? It's not in the tech sector. It's not in the semi. It's in the oil sector. Today you've got Oasis and Whiting Petroleum, two pretty good stocks. They are near an all-stock merger. I think they've actually announced that merger since then. And one last thing, Tesla gets approval for their Giga Berlin. It's set to go live. That's a big green light for Tesla. We'll check on Tesla stock when we come back. And the ones that are popping off the page today. This is the Best Stocks Now show from Gunderson Capital Management. Welcome back here to the final segment of today's very, 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 very busy, once again, Best Stocks Now show. S&P now down 66. We still do have a large inverse position. That's SH. SH is the inverse of the S&P 500. And the NASDAQ continues to get just crushed here today. The NASDAQ, last time I looked, was down about 215. I think it's probably getting worse. Let's take a look here. Here it comes. It is now down, the NASDAQ, 265. So we have PSQ, a pretty large position, which is inverse the NASDAQ. You know, our original theme was rising interest rates.
Inflation.
Inflation. Right? And now you've thrown this third, we were not predicting in January that Putin would invade Ukraine. But we have been very wary of that whole situation, and we continue to be very nervous about Taiwan and the semiconductors. I see the Taiwan Semiconductor, which is the world's largest chip maker, they're opening up a facility, I think, in Japan. But it takes a while, you know.
Probably a couple of years, might be 2-3 years to, you know, to create those
plants.
Yeah, and
then Intel building one in Phoenix. But, you know, we're going to have that chip crunch is going to continue. Well, the stock's jumping off the page for me today. Pretty much kind of the same old story,
right? I know which three you're looking at.
Old song. Yes. Well, I'm going to go with an ETF first. All right. One thing that's been kind of passed over here, let's not forget that the oil and gas equipment stocks, can you imagine the scramble right now with oil at 117 here, West Texas crude? To get equipment from Halliburton or from Core Labs or any of these other, oil equipment stocks. Well, there's an ETF, IEZ. That's the U.S. Oil Equipment and Services Index. I was looking at Baker Hughes, BHI. So, you know, a lot of times when there's just, they're all moving like that. I see that's where these ETFs come in handy. You know, you can get exposure to the entire industry and be very well diversified within the industry, because it's all moving right now. Or you can narrow it down and buy just one stock in that industry. Now, here's the question. How high can oil go here? Because you also, you don't want to be riding your oil investments if oil comes back down into the low 90s once again. And, of course, there's a lot of forces at work right now. You've got a big segment of the global economy that wants to completely do away with fossil fuels. So they're happy that oil prices are going up like this. You've got another segment of the economy that depends upon fossil fuels. And you've just had a major producer of oil, Russia, taken out of the equation for now. So you got 20% of the oil in the hands of Venezuela. I don't think anybody's buying that stuff. It's a crazy situation here. I continue to see upward pressure on oil. What about you, Barry?
Yeah, I mean, there always comes a point to where, you know, two things, right? One is, you know, the Saudis see these crazy prices, right? And they literally could, can crank up that production pretty quickly and reap in those benefits. Of course, that's going to bring price down. And for them, you know, it's such an important part of their economy where, you know, you could see them raising some production limits, but that takes a while. They've got to decide at OPEC.
The next
plus,
OPEC
right?
meeting.
I mean,
there's a lot of
moving parts there. The other thing is, at some point you get what's referred to as demand destruction, right?
Yeah, that's because what I was going to say.
Right, because the price is so high, it just, you know, people quit traveling, right?
Cancel that cruise.
Yeah, or, you know, cancel your drive across the country, what have you. So that piece is, that part's expensive, but, you know, the other bottom line is we have to have it. And in the near term, you know, I can see where prices, they could go just about anywhere,
The
near term, because, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not like we can crank that many electric cars out that fast, right? We've already figured out that takes a while to ramp that stuff up.
Long time. They can't even get parts now.
So that's, the short answer is, you know, it can go. I mean, those near-term demand destruction kind of items, you know, I don't see them really, you know, very close on the horizon, short of, you know, some rhetoric or, from various governments around the globe.
Yeah. Well, I'm just going to throw out one more here. We'll give a shout-out to one that we own in Vermilion Energy, VET, V-E-T, exploding to the upside, up 10.6% today. They're also in the news. They reported earnings better than expected. Surprise, surprise. And they're reinstating their dividend, which a lot of these oil companies are going to start increasing their dividends, I'm sure, with these windfall profits. Okay, well, we are out of time. We've had a lot of people call us. I was just looking at the comments over the weekend of the emails we get and whatnot. A lot of people saying, I'm thinking of changing my advisor, you know, not from us, but from who they're with currently. What can I say? These are extraordinary times. We happen to get positioned right because we did it around a rising interest rate environment. Then as we saw things progress, we doubled down on that whole inflation story, and that thing is just roaring right now. And, you know, protecting on the downside. If you're still in Amazon and some of these stocks that are just getting crushed, Bank of America, et cetera, well, you can give us a call at 855-611-BEST. We're doing emergency appointments, 855-611-BEST. You get the newsletter. I pushed it out Saturday afternoon. It's got the results of all of our portfolios versus the overall market. I think you'd be pretty surprised at how well we're doing so far against a market that's doing horribly. The NASDAQ's down about 15% now year to date, maybe 16. All right, 855-611-BEST, GundersonCapital.com. I got about 1,000 charts to look at today. I got to go. We'll be back tomorrow. Take care, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.